Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Man's Voice here on this Sunday evening. Hope everyone is warm out there. I mean, the weather has been kind of strange for everyone in the United States. We're all going through, it seems, some weather issues in the cold side. And it's get a little chilly the next couple of days, but it will be warm up again starting next week. We'll start getting to the high end. Got a couple of the board members on. Let's see, it's Michael and there's Darius. Want to, show us, the other guys will be in soon, but until that time, we got a lot of things we could talk about. And if you want to ask us some questions or got something that's on your mind and you want to hear the answers to, call us at 646-668-8740. My name is David Shorter, and I am your host for The Man's Voice. And I want to say welcome, Darius. Welcome, Michael. How are you guys doing?
Good, David. How you doing? How you doing, Brother Darius?
Good, Michael. I hope you guys are well.
Well, one of the things that just happened that, you know, everyone is probably discussing right now is DeSantis. He ended his 2024 presidential campaign, and now he's endorsing Trump. So that is kind of very strange because they're giving Haley a lot of bad comments and saying, you know, DeSantis ended his campaign, he gave a lot of comments about Haley and they weren't not good. And so she's now making comments about, you know, him and everything. So what do you guys think about that? Darius, what do you think about DeSantis turning it over to Trump?
It was a wise decision. I didn't really understand why they were hanging on. I mean, there's no poll that shows that any of them or either of the candidates even have a slither of a chance of winning anything. I was surprised that he bowed out. I thought he would at least maybe go to New Hampshire. And I was thinking Nikki Haley may at least try to take it to South Carolina, her home state. But she would be wise to get out before that because there's nothing more embarrassing than losing your home state where she was governor. And I think that the way that things are looking now that she will, if she stays in that long, she will go down before she gets to South Carolina. But I think Ron DeSantis did it because he totally, like he really has a disdain for Nikki Haley. And I think he felt like if he went ahead now and supported Trump, then whatever percentage of the votes that he was going to get is going to go all to Trump, and it's going to make Nikki Haley like look 10 times worse as she would have looked if they would have split that vote between her and DeSantis.
What are your thoughts, Michael?
Oh, actually, David, I can breathe a little easier now because I'm not very happy, as everyone knows. I'm a liberal, far left liberal, but I'm not at all happy with the Biden-Harris administration under any stretch of the imagination. So if I had to have a Republican in there, which I'm even considering voting Republican this term, I'm going to see how it plays out. But I would have not voted for Ron DeSantis. I would have went on and voted for Biden-Harris had the nominee been Ron DeSantis. I think Ron DeSantis is a very rude, evil man. He's a smart, intelligent man. And he's young. So that means had he gotten power, he would have been in power for a very, very, very long time. And I actually think he could have won. I actually think he would have beat Joe Biden heads up, because in a debate he would have really embarrassed Joe Biden, because, I mean, Ron DeSantis is a Harvard-educated lawyer. He's a very smart guy. But he's definitely a threat. I think even a bigger threat to America than Donald Trump is. So I breathe a lot easier right now, knowing that there's no chance that Ron DeSantis is going to be in the White House. So with that said, there's certain things Donald Trump, I didn't vote for him, but there's certain things he did do for my community. He pardoned on his way out a lot of African-American men that should not have been behind bars. Ron DeSantis would have never done anything like that. So there's a lot of things I can point to that Donald Trump, although I'm not a fan, there's a lot of things he did do for the African-American community, and that community is very important to me, that Ron DeSantis would not have done for the African-American community. He would have literally destroyed the African-American community he got in the White House. So short answer to your question, David, I'm very, very happy that Ron DeSantis is out of the race.
Yeah, you know, Trump's lead over Haley widens to double digits in New Hampshire right now, so it looks like Trump is doing well right now, now that DeSantis has backed out. So, Darius, is there something you would like to bring to the table for discussion this week?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have been following this thing with Fani Willis, the DA.
Yeah.
From Fulton County. And so for those who are listening who may not know, but the DA who's prosecuting Donald Trump on the RICO law and the election interference case, and I say that with air quotes because it's bullcrap, she has been brought up in a divorce case with a fellow attorney, can't remember his name right now, who she hired to actually prosecute the RICO charges against Donald Trump. So as the DA, she hired on behalf of Fulton County this attorney who has zero RICO experience, zero experience handling any type of case like that. I think he's primarily an accident attorney. However, she hired him and paid him at a higher rate than any other contract attorney had been paid. Also, he turns around and takes her on trips. Like, they went on a cruise. They went to D.C. together when he went to the White House to collude with the Biden administration. I threw that in there. That's not a fact, guys. But he did go to D.C. and met with the Biden administration, which is pretty fishy. But he also took her on a couple of trips, and she gave him a little bit over $600,000 of Fulton County taxpayers' money, of which she had no authorization to do that, according to some people. She says she did. Other people said, no, you're supposed to get permission to do that. But at the very least, what she should have done is disclose the fact that she was in an adulterous relationship, maybe not use the word adulterous, but she should have disclosed the fact that she was in a personal relationship with this guy that she gave a no-bid contract to. And so it's looking pretty grim for Fani Willis in DA's office, and it looks like this whole case may be thrown out because it's unethical, but I think it should be thrown out because it's bogus anyway. She's on there crying. She was at a church speaking on Martin Luther King's birthday, crying racism, that they're coming after her because she's a black woman. So that's going to be interesting, and I was just wondering what your guys' thought was. Does Fani Willis have a leg to stand on in this thing?
All right, I'd like to welcome Tony again down in Houston. He was on there. I missed his number. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very good today. Thank you for asking. Happy New Year to the crew.
Same to you, sir. Do you have any comments
Happy
on
New
what
Year.
Darius just commented on?
No, it's the first time I'm hearing this conversation. It's interesting. I would like to hear some more from the panel. I'm not aware of this at all. Really couldn't comment on it.
Wow.
It's embarrassing if it's true.
Okay, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Okay, thank you, David. Yeah, I definitely have some thoughts on this because I actually followed it kind of closely. If, for those who listen to the show quite often, you guys will remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about finding Willis, and I said that she hadn't got it yet, but she will eventually get what's known in the black community as a nigga wake-up call. And that phrase was coined by the great Paul Mooney, one of the greatest comedians ever, may he rest in peace. I said back then, Bonnie Willis will get what's known as her nigga wake-up call. And that's any time a black person in America has any sort of power, and Paul Mooney cited Michael Jordan, Bill Cosby, Kelly, and every time a black person gets any sort of power in America, they get some sort of attack from the far right part of the country, the racist white man, let's just call it that. And so we just made it a joke, and that's called their nigga wake-up call. So I said that about a couple weeks ago on the show. I said, Fani's going to get her nigga wake-up call at some point. And this is exactly what it is. Everything Darius just laid out, that's all it is. It's just a racist way for the powerful white men who are very upset that she's going after Donald Trump to dig up some dirt on her and try to smear her and make it seem like she's a bad person. Okay, let's start with first and foremost. If she did hire this black guy, and I can't think of his name, but she did hire a black guy, and Darius, you said he has no reason having that position. Well, they say that about every black person who rise to the top. They said that about Barack Obama. They questioned his credibility. He doesn't need the job. They said that about Ketanji Brown Jackson when she was appointed to the Supreme Court. They questioned whether she deserved the job. So, Darius, for you in the far right to question whether this black guy deserved that job in the first place, it falls on deaf ears because you do that with everybody and every person of color that gets elected to some position of power. So if this guy and Fani Willis were romantically involved with one another, that's their own personal problem, okay? That's their own personal issue with the guy married, who cares? That has absolutely positively nothing to do with the fact that Donald Trump tried to overturn the election in Georgia, and that's what she charged him with. So you guys want to use something that's going on in her personal life to try to discredit her and this guy from going after Donald Trump for committing crimes. That's all it is. And once again, I don't want to keep repeating the negative word on this show, but all it is Fani Willis getting her nigga wake-up call. That's all it is. I yield the floor.
All right.
Can I record?
Sure, go ahead, Darius.
Okay. This is the epitome of every black person that's ever done anything wrong in America. And this is why we lose credibility, because of people using the words like Michael just did. We don't want any accountability for anything. Black man gets caught with guns and crack in his car. He goes to jail. He cries racism. Oh, no, it had nothing to do with the fact that I had guns and crack in my car. It's because I'm a black man. No accountability at all. So, Michael, let me break this down for you, okay? First of all, it is important because the affair is important. It's not just personal, because you cannot use government funds, okay, to hire a non-government contract worker without disclosing the fact that you have a personal relationship. Regardless of whether they're having an intimate affair or not, you have to disclose that, especially if it's a no-bid contract. Second thing, regardless of black or white, you cannot use those funds to have them benefit you directly or indirectly. If I get a contract from the government and I'm dating the person who gave me the contract and then I in turn use that money to give them gifts, that's unethical, Michael. Has nothing to do with black or white. In terms of qualifications, if you hire a contract worker as a DA and you bring them in, you have to have a reason why you picked this person. Typically, if you hire an expert, it means that they have expertise in a certain field, Michael. It has nothing to do with being black. It has to do with this man has never prosecuted a RICO case. These are all facts. This has nothing to do with black or white. Now, the other thing is you're saying, oh, they're doing it just because she's coming after Trump. Guess what? It's not Trump who brought it up. It's the wife of his, I think his name is Nathan something now, Wade, Nathan Wade is his name. It's his wife. They're going through a divorce hearing. She's calling Fonnie Willis into court because she had allegedly had an affair with her husband, and she's calling her into court in the divorce proceedings because he did not disclose the almost $1 million that he received from the county in his divorce decree. So that's why it's a case. It wasn't Donald Trump who brought Fonnie Willis up. And black people need to start accepting responsibility. You keep saying, oh, we want equal treatment, we want equal treatment, but you really don't. You want everything to be excused. You don't want to be held accountable for anything, and you don't want to be held to a standard of the one of the highest law enforcement persons, highest jurists in Fulton County. So miss me, please, with all this racist crap when you have facts, hard, cold facts laying there as to why this lady is unethical and the whole case is dirty and it should be thrown out.
Michael, can you repeat that a little bit? I just had a couple of more. Hello, Don and Mr. Solutions are now on board also. So if you could say, just repeat that a little bit, we can get some comments from them also.
Okay, yeah. I just pointed to the fact that it makes no common sense at all why the right wing and Donald Trump, they're trying to go after Fonnie Willis because of a personal affair she had. And we can litigate that affair and all the ethical purposes behind that affair that Darius pointed out. It has nothing to do with the fact that she's going after Donald Trump or the election in Georgia. So I just made the comment that I said before, this is Fonnie Willis getting what every black person in America who gets some sort of power and some sort of success, they all get what's known as their nigga wake-up call. This is her getting her nigga wake-up call from the racist far-right Republicans in this country by attacking her because she's going after their boy, Donald Trump. Keep in mind, she put a RICO case on a black man, a famous rapper named Young Thug. She put a RICO case on him, and they didn't go after her and try to discredit her for that. But she puts a RICO case on the white man. They want to go after her, dig through her past, dig through her history, and try to find something to discredit her about and say, oh, look at her, Darius just say, she needs to throw out the Donald Trump case because of this. That's all they're doing. So that was my point. I yield the floor.
Yeah. Mr. Solutions, what are your thoughts on that? Hello?
Yes, hello. how is everyone? Fine, I trust that you are. And now, are you guys, I just tuned in, are you guys talking about the Trump prosecution for supposedly election interference in Georgia?
Well, yes, but they're talking about the attorneys are going after the public defender who is, going after.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, David. Yeah, I'm on board now. Yeah, I realized it, and I peered into this just a little bit, not a whole lot, but this is the way I kind of laid it out. If any one of Fannie Willis's employees, I think it's pronounced Fauna, it's different from the way it's actually spelled, but if any one of the employees that are under her cognizance would have come to her and laid out exactly what she did, I guarantee you she would not have approved it. And again, if the allegations are true, it was a kickback. And at minimum, she should be thrown off the case. Now, I don't know if the case should be thrown out. I thought it was a frivolous case initially. However, she is guilty of, and she probably should be disbarred for what she did. She hired a man, and I think some of the gentlemen have stated it really eloquently, at least the penultimate gentleman that spoke before the last gentleman. And that is that... she hired a person that had no expertise in this particular field. He had never you know, prosecuted a high-profile case, and then he's stripping her. Now, some people just like to leave it there, say, well, she can have sex with anyone she wants. Well, in a sense, that's true, and it's not true, because she shouldn't be having sex with her employees. And if you just invert this, and if it were a man having sex with a woman, and he was her employer, it would be a problem ipso facto in and of itself. But the fact that she was, in essence, stealing money, that was nothing but a rerouting of money back to her if the allegations are valid. And I would just like to ask you guys in closing my point, are those allegations valid? Have they been shown to have merit?
All right. Yes, Mr. Solutions, they have been. Actually, there's a case. I think the judge has already given her a subpoena to appear, and he's also told her to give a written response to the allegations. So, yeah, the charges, the accusations are legitimate. They have been proven. They are in court documents and in the divorce decree. And so the judge will be holding a hearing next week to see where he's going to go with the case and if she's going to be thrown off of it or if the whole case is going to be thrown out. But she's going to have other legal problems beyond this case because, like you said, what she did was criminal.
Right. And just one other quick point, if I may. How stupid can one be in an adversarial relationship where you're fighting? You are fighting. That's what court is about. And you use every opportunity in your arsenal to kick your opposition's ass. And if she, like I'm going to just accept it on your word, sir, if she did that, she is at the height of stupidity for doing that. And thank you.
All right. Don, what are your thoughts on this subject?
I thank you very much for calling me, David. And hello, gentlemen. How you doing? I'm disturbed to be factual about it. The allegations have been filed. I'm waiting on the response. I'm waiting on her to respond. She has a limited time to respond, and I think we should wait on her response. Darius, you painted the picture very correctly from what we've been told and what has surfaced. I don't like what I'm seeing. This is the main case brought against Donald Trump. This was the one that could give him some jail time to speak of. That's why this case is so important. That does not negate the case. Now, what she did may be stupid, and it may be factual. And if so, disbar her from the case. Take her away from the case. But the case is the case. And in her inept possibility of being, as Mr. Solution said, stupid, that does not negate the case. So we're in for something that is going to set a precedent. It's going to set a precedent. And we're dealing with one of the most powerful persons in the world while this is being done. So at first I thought that this was another right-wing attack on her. However, more and more is coming out. And I've learned not to judge until you hear the complete story. Why don't we wait and wait for her to respond? And I think that is next week sometime, and I'm quite sure her being in law enforcement, she's getting her response together. Let's wait for the whole story to be revealed. And I think it will be revealed by the time we meet again next Sunday. But like I said before, it does not dismiss what has been done.
All right. Any other comments on this particular subject? Anyone want to throw in?
I have one more thing, David, I wanted to say about that.
Go ahead.
In response to Don, I appreciate you being objective, Brother Don, on that one. But there is a reason why the case should be thrown out, not only because of the affair and the unethical behavior of the DA, Fannie Willis. There's also testimony that they met with the Biden White House before bringing the case, or right after they brought the case. And they also met with the January 6th committee as well. And they have not disclosed that to the defense nor the judge that they have met with outside sources, which is very, very, it's just very bad optics to say that you're going to meet with the challenger of the president's number one adversary and leading in the polls to be the candidate. And then you meet with the adversary. That's grounds enough right there to throw the case out, because she was already thrown out of a case where she tried to bring Burt Jones, which is the attorney general for Georgia, assistant attorney general for Georgia. He's a congressman now. She brought a case against him, and they found out that she was campaigning for his political opponent and campaigning against him. So the judge threw that out and said that she could not prosecute him because of that. And I see the similarities in these two cases.
If I may, real quick.
Sure.
I have one question for Darius and one question for Mr. Solution. My question to you, Darius, is, so should all her cases be thrown out, or just Donald Trump's? Meaning, should she also throw out the Young Thug case, which I know you're familiar with? And the question to Mr. Solution is, you said it's unethical because of who she was sleeping with. You shouldn't sleep with your employees. Fair enough. Donald Trump slept with a prostitute, a porn star, and paid her $100,000. Should that disqualify him from being president as well?
You want me first, Michael, or Mr. Solution first? David, who you want to go first?
Darius, go ahead. Darius, you first.
Okay. So, no, Michael, unless they can show that she had some unethical behavior in the Young Thug case, unless she was sleeping with an expert and taking money from the county and using that money to lavish herself with trips and gifts, or unless they have evidence that she met with the defense in an effort to try to railroad Young Thug, no. So the two have absolutely no relevance at all, Michael. But in terms of Donald Trump didn't hire Stormy Daniels, and it's not a legal case where they're prosecuting somebody. Michael, that's a terrible example, man. But I'll let Mr. Solutions go on that.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, that was an irregular, non-parallel comparison there. And I think he may need to examine that a little bit more closely. But I would like to say this, referring to Ms. Bonner, and that is that the law is never a standalone. In other words, you can't have an enforcer of the law simultaneously being a violator of the law. Now, that's a very good question. Should all of her cases be thrown out? Well, I would say if they're tainted with what she has done in violation, possibly. But a good case, I think, a parallelism is of this not being the enforcer while simultaneously being the violator is the O.J. case. And I'm not going to his guilt or innocence. I think he may have been guilty, and he may have He may have had some collaboration. But you know the old adage is, and I don't repeat this often enough, it's better to allow 10 guilty people to go free, 10 accused to go free, or guilty people to go free than to incarcerate. How does it go? 10 guilty people go free than one innocent person to be incarcerated. But in the O.J. case, the judge said at the outset that the police acted with reckless abandon. And even if he had not won the case, I think he would have won it on appeal. And, of course, my point is that when you have the witness using the Fifth, as Mark Furman did, the Fifth is not designed for a witness. It's designed for the accused, right, to not incriminate that person's And so that was completely irregular when you have the witness. And so in this case with Fannie Willis, when she is supposed to be executing the law, and then she's a violator of the law, a gross violator, by the way, that was a lot of money, almost $1 million from what I heard. And that should be sufficient to get her disbarred, I would think, in and above having the case either thrown out or reassigned or possibly thrown out. I know they're going to push for it to be thrown out, but she deserves some stiff penalties if the allegation proves to be valid. Thank you.
Hey, David?
David, may I respond to what has been said?
Sure, Don. Go ahead.
The case should not be thrown out. It should be reassigned, even if she is guilty. The case is the case, and the facts are the facts. But like I said before, we're talking about one of the most powerful men in the world. That's going to be the barometer that sets a precedent. Arrest my case.
All right.
Okay,
was that...
Can I add something?
Sure.
Can
sure.
I add one thing to that? Okay.
Sure.
So what Mr. Solution said, he reminded me of something, and he was very it was very profound what he said. There is something in the law called clean hands, and what that says is if you bring a case against someone, you have to have clean hands. You cannot be a criminal trying, you cannot commit a crime in the process of prosecuting a crime. And so if these allegations are true, which she's not denying them, she does not have clean hands. Therefore, she is not allowed to bring forth a case against anybody in that particular instance. So Mr. Solutions, thank you so much for bringing that to the forefront of my memory. Fannie Willis is disqualified from bringing a case against Donald Trump, at the very least, if she's not being disbarred or guilty of a crime herself. Also in that case as well, Don, Fannie Willis is the one who brought the case, so I don't know who you would reassign it to. Fulton County did not want this case. There was no one, there was no judge, there was no attorney, there was no district attorney or prosecutor that wanted to try Donald Trump. It was only Fannie Willis. So this was the people of Fulton County have no dog in this fight. They do not care. As a matter of fact, they're even calling into question, did she have permission to spend Fulton County's tax dollars to prosecute Donald Trump? So that's why I think even if this happens, the case will be done because nobody else is going to pick up this.
All right. Any other comments on this particular incident? Michael, do you want to close it out?
Yeah, I definitely will. Thanks for letting me close it out, David. Once again, I'm just going to repeat myself. You guys are just going after Fannie Willis because you're mad because she's going after your boy, Donald Trump. That's just all it is. Okay, you just found something to attack her about. Even, I'm just going to play devil's advocate, which I don't think any of those, the allegations are true, none at all. I'm not going to waste my time litigating them. But even if they are true, the case absolutely should not be thrown out. and they won't be thrown out. I've done my research on it. It's us, another prosecutor will just pick it up because it's already been filed with the court. So it can't just be thrown out because the prosecutor acted inappropriately. Okay, so let's just start there. And I'm going to end with this. Darius, it is hilarious to me how you think, even Mr. Solution said, if she is guilty, all of her cases need to be examined. But all you had to say was, no, only Donald Trump's case. That just shows the hypocrisy in the far right and how they think about this entire case and how they think about Fannie Willis.
Never said that, Michael. I never said that.
All right, let's move on. Don, is there something you would like to bring to the table?
This is the hot topic. This is the hot topic, and it's got the media buzzing like never before. How long does she have before she has to respond, Darius? What's the time period?
I think she's already given she had to give the letter. I think she gave that on Friday. I think she had till the end of the week to respond in the letter. And I think the hearing is this week, so I believe it's Tuesday. So she's already given the judge her written response, but they will have a hearing on that either Tuesday or Wednesday.
So, right. So David, by the time we meet next week, we will have conclusion of the matter. And that's going to be very important. And that entire election is heating up like never before. Being very truthful with you, we got two candidates running that public opinion does not even want to be president of the United States. And it's a travesty. One of the richest countries in the world has two candidates running that the majority of the people that live in that country don't even want them. And then we got a situation where we got an endorsement by a person that I think Donald Trump may even select as his vice president. We've talked about that. And he just endorsed Donald Trump, and he happens to be of color. So we're in for a ride, gentlemen. And this is going to be a very interesting election, the entire process of the 2024 election.
Right. Tony, did you have something you would like to bring to the table?
If possible, I would like to. I've had some questions asked to me, and it's taken away from the political arena that we are in right now. It's a question about Christmas. I know I'm stepping backwards, but I have been asked about Christmas and what it was, its intent. And from what I understand, the intent was the celebration of the birth of a child in a very humble environment in a farm where you had a couple of guys bringing gifts to welcome in the birth of this newborn. And that's what I was taught coming through my life all through adulthood. Now, bringing up to today, I observed that things have changed. The same day, the same name, but now we have a different direction where we have a situation where you have a man with a white beard and a red coat coming through a chimney, flying through the air in a chariot, I can say, or being pulled by some reindeers. And it has completely transformed what Christmas was about and what Christmas is supposed and intended to be. Could the panel give me some insight on why and what created this change that we are now in a whole different arena than what we started off with, knowing from history about the intent of the celebration of Christmas.
All right, Don, you want to take that on?
David, that's something that I never knew, as the speaker just said. I never knew why that even came into play. Even was brought up as a child about a big fat white man with a beard coming in the middle of the night to visit my home on Christmas night. And how would he serve the world in approximately 8 to 12 hours? That never was explained to me either. However, it's not the meaning to me personally of Christmas. It's the birth of Jesus Christ, and that's the bottom end of the story. I don't know why that myth was even brought up. It was stupid. And I tell my grandkids every Christmas, there's no Santa Claus that brought you this. This was your grandpa and your grandma that brought you this. Your mom and your dad gave you this. They don't even subscribe to that. I can't give you an answer to that. It's stupid.
Let me throw something.
If I may.
Go ahead. Somebody just said something.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, David. Go ahead.
Let me just throw something in your heads. Because there is a faith, the Jews, who don't believe that that birth of Christ was the birth of Jesus Christ or anything. They think he hasn't been born yet, but they're selling products. They want you to buy all their products. So when you kind of think of where Santa Claus came from, I think you think, put all that together, you might come up with a bottom line. Darius, what are your thoughts?
I'll go ahead. I think that was Michael there, but I'll go ahead. Tony, a lot of people think that the myth of Santa Claus is somehow a demonic or a cheap imitation of what Christmas is really about. But the truth of the matter is, which I read this years ago, that Saint Nicholas is a real person. He was a real person, and he's a legitimate saint. Now, what happened was his parents died, both of his parents, when he was very young, and left him as an orphan, but they left him an inheritance. And because he didn't have a family, because he was an orphan, what he did was he gave money and gifts to the poor children in his town. So it's actually a true story, the origin of it. I mean, what this thing has grown into now with the reindeer flying in the sky and him coming down the chimneys, all that stuff. But Saint Nick was actually a Christian. He was a follower of Christ, and he did legitimately, secretly give gifts to poor children in his town. So that does have Christian origin behind it. But like David said, of course, it's been commercialized because there are so many people who don't believe in the story of Christ, who don't believe in the virgin birth, but yet they want to capitalize off of the holiday. And so that's why you have these myths and fairy tales about Christmas. But he was legitimate, and we give gifts at Christmas because God gave the greatest gift of all to us. And I don't think that should be minimized or because the world has somehow dirtied it up. I don't think that should take away from the true celebration of Christmas.
All right. The St. Nicholas piece, you know, St. Nicholas was really born in 270, actually 15 March 270, and then passed away in 343. But he was a patron saint of sailors and merchants and all those kinds of things, and was his legendary habit of giving away secret gifts rose to the traditional thing of Santa Claus. Santa Claus is actually Sinterklaas, which is Saint Nicholas. So Santa Claus, the word Santa Claus really means Saint Nicholas in a different language. So that's where, any other thoughts on that, Darius?
No, you're right, David. Thank you so much for pointing that up. But yeah, you're very right. It is a true, I mean, a real person, a real saint. Whatever it grew into has nothing to do with the origin of the story.
Right. Someone else has some comments?
I did real quick, David.
Oh,
this is Michael.
Yeah.
I think two very good points were made. First, David, you made a very good point by drawing the analogy to the Jewish community. You kind of hit the ball out the park on that one. That's a very good way of looking at what happened here. And Tony, you may brought a great analogy by comparing Jesus Christ to Santa Claus, because I've always said I believe the story of Jesus Christ just as much as I believe the story of Santa Claus. To me, they're both two very fabricated stories. One is a fat white man who can travel around the world in 24 hours and drop gifts off in everyone's house. The other story is of a guy who was born to a mother who was a virgin. Like, they're both just fabricated stories to me. So that my answer to the question is, yeah, they spend it because of capitalism. That's why they came up with the story of the jolly fat white man, because they saw a way to make money off of it, they being the Jewish community, like David said.
Huh. All right. Any other comments on that? Mr. Solution, you got any comments on this?
Sure. I think that what has been said, you know, there was some commercialization and also some cultural adaptation that was involved in this. I don't have a problem, and also the economics, if I left that out. But to appeal to children, when I grew up, I mean, Christmas was it's the biggest holiday, i.e. holy day, in American culture. And our culture is saturated with them, Easter and so on and so forth. But I think it's okay. I mean, look, intelligent adults can decipher from the fact, from the fiction, what is but I think giving kids an opportunity, you know, to have fun, great fun. The only problem I have with Christmas, and even have today with Christmas, is that it's too short. I think it should be at least a month-long celebration. But I don't see any real problem. And I would say to the gentleman, and I'm sorry for not recalling your name, but the story of Jesus Christ is by no means fictional. All ancient historians recognize his existence and his work. And the Encyclopedia Britannica, which is a highly recognized source of information, identifies Jesus Christ as who history defines him as, particularly the New Testament documents, very trustworthy documents. So I would say, because of the importance of who Jesus is, and of course Saint Nicholas reflects that, I would say that you should, if you're honest, you should do more research and see who Jesus is, because if he's who he says he is, you're going to answer to him. Regardless of what one may think. But anyway, I just close it out on that. I think Christmas is great. I know there are some pagan parts to it, but our culture has adopted it as many things, like the days of the week, Thor, Thursday, and Sunday, and Moon Day, Monday. But we don't think a second. We don't have a second thought about those because we've cleaned them up and we no longer give allegiance to their pagan origins. But look, Christmas is great. Hoorah, hoorah. I'm all for it.
Darius,
comments? Say again?
Did you have something else you wanted comments to make on this?
Oh no, like I said earlier, I'm with Mr. Solutions. I think, you know, if your heart and your intent is right, even if some of them are fairy tales and they're wild fantasies, hey, that was an important part of my youth, man. And I don't regret the fact that my parents told me there was a Santa Claus. it made Christmas magical. And I think with everything that's going on in our culture and children being basically, you know, approached with sex and murder and crime and, you know, guns, I think we need more childhood fantasies and mystery. But also I wanted to reiterate what Mr. Solution said as well in terms of Christ. It's well documented, Michael. It's not just in the Bible, but even if you look at the Bible, you got to remember there were several different people that wrote and testified to witnessing this miracle, transcribed over 8,000 times in three different major languages and over four different continents, I believe, in the beginning. So it's historically documented, and if you don't believe it, that's fine, but you can't deny the fact that there are several eyewitnesses accounting to those supernatural occurrences.
All right. Any other comments on this? If not, let's move forward. Mr. Solutions, you have something you would like to bring to the table?
Not at this time. Thank you.
All right.
David, I want to ask, has it been discussed about our governor here in the state of Florida resigning his bid to be president of the United States?
That's where we opened it up, but you can continue on. What would you like to comment about it?
No. I just was wondering, had it been brought up, because I tuned in late. However, I want to ask the question. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is something that was brought up in lieu of the Rodney King and also with the Floyd case. And murder and killing, diversity, equity, and inclusion, should it be eliminated? Because that's one of his pet peeves here in the state of Florida.
Any comments on that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It should not be eliminated. And a perfect example is hearing Governor Haley say America has never been a racist country. That's misinformed, miseducated. And if we're going to pass messages like that, then no, you definitely need to eliminate DEI. The DEI teaches the truth. It doesn't teach the watered-down lie version that the Republicans like Ron DeSantis want to teach.
All right. Any other comments on that? Darius, do you have any thoughts?
DEI, it's an impossible theory, an impossible logic to say that I can not discriminate, and I'm going to get rid of discrimination by discriminating. You can't say we're going to have DEI and we got to have this many black people apply for this job. And because we've already met our quota of white people, we have to have a black person, so white people need not apply. Well, that on its very face is racist. So DEI says, oh, we want to get rid of racism by becoming racist. So the two are mutually exclusive. There's no way they can both exist. You can't do both. So what I'm saying, I believe absolutely it should be gotten rid of. And I also agree that America as a whole has never been a racist country. Have we been more racist than we are now? Have we had racist people? Well, we always have racist people, absolutely. But America, in terms of a government, has never been a racist country. Otherwise, there would never have been a civil war. There would never have been a Quaker abolitionist movement. And there would never have been white people that drove down in buses to Selma, Alabama, to march with black people. So it has never been totally a racist country, Michael.
Michael, you have any comments?
Yeah, man, that's Darius. That's probably one of the, come on now. Of course, America's been a racist country. We owned black people for 100 years, Darius. And then we had Jim Crow in the South, which was laws that said black people had to become second-class citizens. So we were clearly a racist country. This is the government. The government was sanctioning black people to sit at the back of the bus. That's racism. Okay, the government has been racist, Darius. And to say stuff like that is just asinine, Darius. You know better than that. You know America has been a racist country historically.
So are you talking about the southern governments of the South? Are you talking about the American government? Because you said America has been a racist country. And I'm telling you that America as a whole and the American government has never been racist. If you take a few countries and a few states in the South and say that, yeah, you can say that. But you got to remember, Michael, only the wealthy plantation owners had slaves. There were a very small percentage of the population that owned slaves. So you got to think about all the white people that fought to abolish slavery way before the Civil War. So as early as the 1600s,
that black people are one third of a man. It's in the Constitution of America. Michael,
I've explained this to you before. One third of a man was to prohibit the South from counting slaves as full citizens while not giving them full citizenship. And they wanted to count them so they could have more representation in the U.S. House of Representatives by counting that population. And the government, the United States government, said you can't have it both ways. If you're going to count them, then you need to let them vote. If you're not going to let them vote, then you cannot count them as a full citizen, giving you more seats in Congress. That way, slavery would have never been abolished.
All right, gentlemen. We're down over a little more than 3 minutes left on the show, and there's a lot of comments coming in. We've been very political the whole show, so we jump over just the last comment, because there's something coming up with the government that they're trying to pass a bill that says make a right turn on a red light is legal, but they want to strike it and said it is illegal in the United States. What are your thoughts on that? Anyone have any comments? Mr. Solution, what are your comments on that?
Yes, if I heard you correctly, it was my understanding that once one comes to a full stop and check that there's no vehicles oncoming, it's okay, unless there's a sign, a clearly affixed sign that says you said right turns, right? No right turns.
Right turns.
Yeah, I think that's been legal as far as I am concerned. I recall that is already legal, no?
It is legal. They're trying to make it illegal. They're going to pass a law that it is illegal from this point on.
You mean?
I don't think it's legal in all states. In the state of New York, in the city limits, it's illegal.
It's also illegal where there is obstructed visibility, but if the visibility is high, once one comes to a full stop, not a rolling stop, then, of course, it's always been legal. But for those exceptions where the view is obstructed, depending on the speed limit, and that makes perfect sense. Go ahead.
So let's do this. We got a minute left. Let's go around the table. I'm going to call you. Tell me whether you think it should be legal or not. So, Don, do you think it should be legal to make a right-hand turn on a red light if you can?
Yes, absolutely.
Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. Continue to be legal, please.
Darius, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, David, I think that was just for the state of Georgia that they were trying to pass that. But I absolutely think, yes, it should remain legal. Absolutely.
Okay. Tony, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, definitely. It should remain legal. I have driven through the state of New York, and I observe where it is illegal to make a right turn within the city limits, and it's a very uncomfortable situation. I think it should stay legal. Yes.
All right. 10 seconds left. Mr. Solutions, what are your thoughts?
Well, yes, as I said a moment ago, thank you. Depending on visibility, if one has an unobstructed view of oncoming vehicles, once they make a complete thought, I think it should be okay to proceed. And that will eliminate some traffic congestion.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.